Canberra Cup, the National Sprint and the Canberra Guineas. Going to be an absolutely magnificent day weather-wise there. I heard you do the weather earlier today. I'll tell you what, it's been cloudy all the way down here in the Munzerati, but we've just passed Mittagong and the clouds have disappeared. It's a beautiful day. Expecting 30 degrees down there at Canberra and a good track. They've had a soft track the last couple of days, but upgraded to good this morning. Magnificent days racing at Canberra. I've heard Dave giving McLaren, so I've got a black pen out for the line to it. The black battle, that improves the other's chances. But we've got the specials, the bonus bet situation today on races 1 to 4 at Canberra. If your horse runs second or third, you'll qualify for a bonus bet of up to $50 and a great coverage, no doubt, on the Sky Thoroughbred Central of the Canberra meeting. Getting ready for the preview there with Johnny Scores and Mitch Manners. It'll come to you on Channel 528 at 11 o'clock, and then we're off to Tamworth with Gary Harley and the boys. And a big, big day and a big night last night for the big fella, Gary Harley. It was his birthday, so he'll be strutting out there today at Tamworth.
Fantastic. Good on him. Deserves all the accolades. Good on you, Glenn. Have a great day. Thanks, yourself, mate. We'll look forward to that big race meeting from Canberra today. Glenn Munsey from tab.com.au. 1353 53. That's the open line number. Time now for the news, and then after the news, our legend of the game is former swimming Olympic gold medalist, Brooke Hanson.
I'm Arthur Stevens. Today sees a day of severe fire danger for parts of Western Australia. The warnings apply to parts of the Pilbara and Midwest Gascoyne and covers Karratha, Exmouth, Port Hedland and Carnarvon, as well as surrounding shires. Meanwhile in Victoria, firefighters are continuing to battle the Bunyip State Park fire, which has now burnt over 15,000 hectares. The fire is still out of control and smoke will continue to impact nearby areas and into Melbourne's east, southeast and the Mornington Peninsula. Prime Minister Scott Morrison says he wants Australians to keep more of what they earn. Amid reports, the federal government is considering further income tax cuts. Citing senior government sources, the Australians reported the coalition was weighing up additional tax cuts in the upcoming budget. The tax relief would come on top of a $144 billion income tax plan announced last year and will be made possible by the improving budget position. Mr. Morrison says he's always been in favour of tax cuts.
My record on income tax is plain for everyone to see. Every opportunity I have to reduce the tax burden on Australians, I take it.
Labor's Jim Chalmers says it's a thought bubble with interesting timing.
Desperate tax cuts 5.5 weeks from an election won't make up for 5.5 years of cuts and chaos from these Liberals.
In New South Wales, the Prime Minister and Federal Opposition Leader have flown in to support the Liberal and Labor state election campaign launches. Scott Morrison will join Premier Gladys Berejiklian at the Liberal campaign launch in Sydney South West today, ahead of the March 23 poll. Meanwhile, Bill Shorten will speak at the state Labor campaign launch, also to be held in Sydney South West at Revesby. In health news, a reminder, two cases of a debilitating mosquito-borne virus have been detected in Tasmania, prompting a warning to residents and travellers on the state's east coast. Another three potential cases of the Barmah Forest virus, spread by mosquitoes, are being investigated by the state's health department. In the US, Democratic Congressman Joe Cunningham has interrupted a House committee hearing with a 120-decibel air horn after a Trump administration official insisted air gun testing to find oil underwater would have no impact on whales, who rely on echolocation to hunt and communicate.
Was that disruptive, Mr. Oliver?
So it was irritating, but I didn't find it particularly disruptive.
Yeah. Well, about every, say, 10 seconds, like seismic air gun blasting goes on for days, weeks, months. How much louder do you think seismic air gun blasting sounds than this air horn you just heard?
I honestly don't know.
What if I were to tell you it's 16,000 times louder than what you just heard here? Do you see how that would be impactful on marine species and mammals?
Armed men have burst into a bar overnight in the central Mexican city of Salamanca and opened fire, killing more than a dozen people, according to media reports. The shootings are said to have taken place at La Playa Men's Club in the western part of the city. Reports range from 13 to 15 people killed. The national newspaper Reforma cites Sofia Huet Lopez, Guanajuato State Government Commissioner for Security, analysis as confirming 15 dead. This is Air News. Firstly, AFL and Premiership points weren't on the line, but when Richmond needed someone to stand up, skipper Trent Cotchin delivered. The Tigers came from 40 points down at halftime to beat Hawthorn in Launceston last night in the club's final pre-season trial. Cotchin was the linchpin in the last term, kicking two goals in the dying stages, including one on the run off the centre clearance and finished with 24 possessions. After being held goalless in the second quarter, Richmond kicked 12 majors after the main break to win 14-11-95 to 13-9-87. Rugby League and Tom Trbojevic is ready to take his game to new heights this season after coming under the tutelage of his Manly number one predecessor, Brett Stewart. The Prince of Brookvale's return to the Sea Eagles as part of Des Hasler's revamp of their backroom and football department. Trbojevic is set to be the main beneficiary. Stewart, considered one of the Northern Beaches club's all-time greats, has returned in a mentoring and ambassadorial role. In golf news, Australia's Nick Cullen will head into the final day of the Qatar Masters just one shot off the lead after posting a 4-under par 68 at Doha. Cullen cut at 5 birdies to sit second alongside Spaniard Nacho Elvira, Frenchman Mike Lorenzo Vera, and South African Eric Van Rooyen on 9-under. And that's a shot behind clubhouse leader Oliver Wilson. In racing, Glenn Schofield's been fined $1,000 for a run-in with James McDonald following the Randwick Guineas. Schofield rode Purple Sector, who copped a hefty bump mid-race and eventually trailed the field by more than 30 lengths. Schofield fronted McDonald, who rode Aramayo, and gave him a shove, but it was Josh Parr on third place Nikita Jain who caused the interference, and Parr's been suspended. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you'll have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Cabernet Merlot by De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
An event to excite the senses is on this weekend at Westfield. Taste, Shop, Play is back for 2 days of offers and experiences. Visit westfield.com.au to find out what's on. In West Ryde, lights are flashing on Victoria Road at West Parade at the moment. In Bringelly, Bringelly Road is closed between Jersey and the Northern Roads for roadworks. Detours in place. And in Kurnell, we've got a reduced speed limit of 60 k's in both directions on Captain Cook Drive for the cycle event that's on today. DFO's big brand sale is on now at DFO Homebush. Shop designer brands like Tommy Hilfiger, Michael Kors, Bally and more. Hurry, ends today. Need DFO. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
It's Tabs. Who are you backing? Where we disguise an ad as a game show for punters. Ready, Tony?
Yeah, I guess.
This Sunday for Black Opal Stakes Day, if your horse runs second or third in races 1-4 at Canberra, does Tab give you back a bonus bet up to $50?
This is an ad, right?
Spot on! Races 1-4 at Canberra. Well played. Who are you backing? Tab.
Includes SANWA residents. Tab account fixed odds win bets only. TNCs at website. Gamble responsibly. Call Gamblers Help at 1-800-858-858.
It's as much a part of the autumn as the Derby and the Doncaster. The annual Racing Fraternity Mass brings all sections of the racing industry together. Everyone is welcome to attend the Mass in the Royal Randwick Ballroom, Randwick Racecourse at 11 a.m. Sunday, March 17.
Sky Sports Radio brings you every moment of this year's provincial championship.
Serene Miss has won the Gosford Heat.
Saturday afternoon, we're off to the Central Coast for the Gosford Qualifier. Tip Saturday morning at 9:45 on Sky Sports Radio. Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Morning fog in the west, partly cloudy, light winds becoming northwest to northeasterly, 15 to 25 kilometres an hour in the early afternoon, then becoming light again in the late evening. Partly cloudy, a maximum of 30 degrees. Now, Dave, what about at Tempe and Tamworth right now?
Tempe?
Well,
I went to Mora. But
see, this is where you haven't understood what we've been doing here for the last few years. We usually do a Sydney suburb current temperature. But you've gone to Mora in the state's southwest.
Yes.
And you've gone Tamworth in the state's north. So let's just run with that.
Right, well, I'll start with Tamworth, 23 degrees at the moment. And a top there of 34 today, mostly sunny, so nice warm conditions. And at Tamora, up to 33, beautiful sunny conditions. And look, I just like to support people outside our metropolitan area. I'm surprised you've forgotten your country roots, James. We've got a lot of listeners out there. And by the way, we've got some news. We've got a major incident.
Yeah, and we'll get to that very shortly.
Yeah.
Champions League football.
Sky Sports Radio, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Yeah, well done, Marcus. Did you see the look on Neymar's face? Very, very interesting. 13:53:53, a little snapshot of the week that was. Now, we do have a major incident to report. And, look, we've got a number of people sending in tweets at Big Sports WEND. So Bird and John just saying, look, I can't stream the show through my iPhone this morning, just to let you know that we've had a bit of an issue with vision for all Sky Racing channels, Sky 1, 2 and Thoroughbred Central, on the digital platforms, in venues and on digital platforms, that's web and mobile. Vision via pay TV, not impacted at all. They're doing an investigation at the moment, but that's just to give you an update. So if you are having difficulty listening through your regular channels, then we understand why, and we are working hard to change that situation. 13:53:53 is the open line number. It's Dave Stanley who's in for Ray Thomas. Coming up this hour, Dave, looking forward to it. Brooke Hanson is our legend of the game. The Olympic gold medalist will have... well, actually, we were going to have a football update. But given the performances of the Central Coast Mariners and the Liverpool Football Club of late, Phil Moss has rung in and said, I'm a little... sick. So make of that what you will.
Or are you suggesting that
he's dodging?
Right.
Is what I'm suggesting. We will have a chat with Trent Lenscow from tab.com.au as well. We have been speaking about the off-field incidents with Jack DeBellin, the no-fault stand-down policy in tatters. We heard Zorba's top eight for the year. He left Manly out of that. He said the Roosters would be the premiers. And we're also talking about what's been transpiring out there at Penrith during the course of this week as well. We'll take your thoughts on all of those, as well as our talk topic today. Who would you spend $8,000 to, a little bit of a handshake and say g'day on the back of Dean Lester, being near seats that were valued at $8,000. So we've got a little bit of a stretch to that. Best contribution gets themselves a carton of Wingman beer. Have you had the Wingman?
It is beautiful.
How good is it?
Very good.
Very good. And all the listeners that get it are very impressed with it. So the Wingman and a Winx book by Ray Thomas will be coming your way. You got any books you've written?
No. I was going to say, can't tip your horse, but can tip you in a good drop.
There you go. Well, just before we get to that, China Doll, time now for the second quiz question for the long-time listener call. And that is, who did Zorba tip as his wooden spooners? Who did Zorba tip as his wooden spooners for season 2019? Time now to speak to our legend of the game. She's an Olympic legend, a swimming legend, and she was a gold medalist, a world champion, and a former world record holder. It's great to have Brooke Hanson on the program. G'day, Brooke.
Morning, boys.
Thanks very much for joining. You sound a little bit of trepidation that you're not sure what you got yourself into.
Oh, no, listening to all of that, you have to pinch yourself. It's Sunday morning, you've got kids running around the house and I'm making pancakes and doing my thing. I'm like, oh, that's right, I achieved something pretty special in a former life.
very special. Hey, speaking of the former life, how did it start? From what I understand, and understand why, with your family interests there, but into swimming aged four, is that right?
Yeah, age four, and I think that's when the Olympic dream began, that I actually almost drowned twice as a baby. So mum and dad twice had to pick me up from the bottom of the pool and put me into those swimming lessons. So, I learnt that skill for life. But from that moment onwards, when I could actually swim 15 metres across the pool. I was in a tiny tots race. It was a 15 metre freestyle race, but I swam breaststroke and still won. And I've been swimming breaststroke ever since. It's just a stroke that just came so natural to me, and the water, I've just had this connection to it ever since that age, and I still do now. I just absolutely love being in the water, and had no idea at that point that I'd go on to actually, achieve all of my dreams. And it did. It all happened at the age of four. And I wanted to be an Olympian. I wanted to win a medal. And fortunately, I had that background with Dad being a sports journalist and a rugby league journalist, that he would come home with stories from the Olympics or take me to, every single rugby league game for the whole season. And I'd get to meet players, and I'd get to meet Olympians along the way as well. And I think I had a lot of heroes to look up to in my life, and I really just wanted to get the best out of myself.
Brooke, at what point did the dream become a reality? Because we all, you know, you would have been training, and you know, you said that you've learnt swimming because of, you know, the two issues we nearly drowned. Yeah. At what point, as a young age, do you think to yourself, hang on a second, I can actually do this and do this at the top level?
I think it still took a long time, and I was an athlete where it didn't come easy, and I wasn't a superstar, young kid, or even in my teenage years. It was, it was tough to sort of hang in there over those years. I had some natural ability for breaststroke, but had to really work really hard. And I had, a bit of success during school, and that sort of helped build my confidence to say, yeah, I really want to do this. And I tried a lot of different sports. I was doing surf life saving, netball, water polo. I joined a mixed soccer team. Lots of different sports growing up, but swimming is sort of where where my heart really lied, and I really wanted to just achieve those dreams, and I knew that I had to give up the other sports, focus on the swimming, and just kept chipping away. And then before I knew it, I was on my first Commonwealth Games team at the age of 16. I was the baby of the team, and went over to Victoria, Canada, and achieved fourth place there in the 200 metres breaststroke as a 16-year-old. And I was a breaststroker that was well and truly on the rise, and a lot of people were talking about Atlanta Olympics, and I was really focused on making that Olympic team. And I guess, I think back to that time when I was probably thinking more that I was expecting to make those teams, and really just aiming to be the second best breaststroker. Rather than really having the confidence to believe in myself and to take that next step to know that I could be the number one breaststroker in our country.
Mm.
So it took you.
Yeah. Oh, I think she's dropped out. She has dropped out. We might have dropped out. So unfortunately there we've lost Brooke Hanson. It's interesting that she was talking about that. She went to the 1994 Commonwealth Games as a 16-year-old and then didn't come back into the Australian side until 2002, so some 8 years later, as a mature age swimmer, mature age as a 24-year-old. So it's interesting. We'll get her back online very shortly. But we are chatting at the moment with our legend of the game, and that is Brooke Hanson, just as we're trying to re-establish the line there.
Isn't that extraordinary what she said about, her parents found her at the bottom of their pool?
Yeah.
Twice. And then, it just shows how important water safety is.
Yes.
In this country, and how, I guess, how lucky we are to have access to pools and facilities and whatnot. And that's a brilliant story.
And those things are tragedies that need to be avoided. They can't always be avoided, but they need to be avoided. I think Brooke's back. You there, Brooke?
Yeah, sorry, lost you. Don't know what happened.
Jimmy didn't pay the bill. Sorry about that.
They'll give me 30 days credit, won't they? Surely. That's what I thought. Hey, Brooke, that's interesting because we were just talking about the fact that, yes, you're 16 and you go, okay, I want to be the number two swimmer in Australia, which is the mindset. You must look back at it now and say, oh, what was I thinking? But you're out of the Australian system for 8 years there. Did you start questioning yourself whether you needed to look elsewhere for career opportunities?
Oh, yeah, without doubt. And to miss Atlanta by 11/100ths of a second, and then to miss Sydney 2000 by 0.71 again, it was, I thought, and I did have a lot of people at that stage going, oh, you're too old, you're too slow, you're a really good teenager, your time's up.
Yeah.
And then I had a lot of other great people in my corner going, we believe in you, Brooke, and we believe that you can go another 4 years and give it another shot. And I look back to some of the mentors I had in my life then, and one of them was Dawn Fraser.
Yes.
Who got me aside and said, Brooke, I believe as a woman, you'll come into your strength in your mid-20s, your late-20s, and I really believe that you can do it. And you've got legends like her telling you to have another shot. It's definitely soul-searching time, but to know that there in your corner, you go, do you know what, I will go another 4 years. But I knew that I had to do it differently. I couldn't do it the way that I'd done it previously. And I started aiming for first, believing myself, and really unlocked that self-confidence to know that I could be the best in the country, which would then make me the best in the world.
Mm.
And like you said, it's that mindset that I had to, you know, to take on board and I never saw anything as a sacrifice. I just saw it as a choice to be the best. And the winning choices I made every day ended up giving me the success that I'd been wanting for so long.
Let's fast forward 10 years. So we start, you said before, 1994 in Victoria, then the 2004 Olympics in Athens. And to be a part of that 4x100 medley relay, to win gold, and then win silver as well on the 100-metre breaststroke. I mean, watching our Aussies, and let me know if I'm sort of on the right path here, but from being a sports lover and loving league and football, I must admit, out of all the swimming events, I love watching the relays because there's that team element.
Yeah.
And that the passion that the Aussies display, both the men and the women, it must be a special feeling to be a part of it.
Oh, it is, without doubt, and that's the closest we get to a team sport.
Yep.
And, you know, someone like me, like I said, Dad was a rugby league journalist. I'd grown up watching team sport my entire life, and to know that swimming is so individual, but when you're in that relay, you just give it everything you've got, and you find extra 10%. And I was so fortunate just to be part of that 2004 team where the women really came into our own, and that golden era where all of us believed in each other, and to see the girls get up on the first night and win the gold medal in the 4x1 freestyle relay, and that's the first time it had been achieved since 1956, that really made our women's team lift for the rest of the week, and gave us all so much more belief. And the team atmosphere was just, it was electric, it was amazing. And then for me personally to make the Olympic final was, you know, was big, and I was ranked fourth, and I remember thinking, well, fourth doesn't get a medal, so let's see if you can get on the podium. And the last 10 metres, I can still remember the pain I was in, and just thinking, just get your fingernails on the wall. And I felt like I was going backwards and that the wall was never going to come. And I touched the wall and looked around, and the announcer said someone's been disqualified. And I thought, oh no, I've made it all the way to the Olympics and I've been disqualified. But then they announced that the Chinese swimmer in lane 8 had actually got disqualified for an illegal kick. And then my name just came up in light that I was a silver medalist. And for me, it was a golden reward for never, ever giving up on my dream. And a lot said that I was the happiest silver medalist that ever won a silver at an Olympics. But I didn't think once about, you know, how I'd lost the gold or that I just won the silver over my teammate Liesl Jones, who was only 1/100th behind me. It was just, that was just my moment for saying, hey, Brooke, like 22 years it's taking you to stand on that podium, and it wouldn't have mattered if it was gold, silver or bronze for my individual race. I was just so happy to be there, and as I stood there, I just thought of the journey and the hard yards that I'd done, and being told I was allergic to chlorine, and, you know, the illnesses, the injuries, the upsets over the years. It was just one of those moments where you stood there and went, yep, good on me, I've actually done it.
Hey, Brooke, I'm really interested in you recognising that you had to do things differently. You noted that it was around your mindset. How did that change in your mindset, which saw this great success? Were you able to carry that on to other parts of your life post your swimming career?
Yeah, without doubt. And so many of the tools I learnt from swimming at that elite level and, you know, winning Olympic gold and silver, and then the achievements that came after that at the World Championships, every high and low post my career,
yes,
all of those moments has just helped me be a stronger individual and a better person and a better mum. And I really have those times in my career to thank for how I live my life now.
Mm.
What about, you know, after the Athens Olympics, you entered the short course, you know, at FINA, and that was in Indianapolis and Indiana, and then continued on. And then in 06, there was that chat about retiring, and with the qualification, you did get through in that 200-metre breaststroke, and you did win silver, and that was sort of the changing of the guard, wasn't it? Because we had, like, Stephanie Rice coming through and a lot of the young guns.
Oh, have we lost? You there, Brooke?
Yep, still here.
Yeah. Did you hear that question
did
from Dave?
Me?
Yeah, so my 2004 was definitely my year, and the World Short Course Championships, you know, I still do pinch myself at the result to win 6 gold medals and break the world record with the girls in the medley relay, and to be female swimmer of the meet was an incredible year for me. But there was a lot that went on sort of behind the scenes with, like, problems with my coach and some other issues that I went through. I got the electric shock. There was a lot, you know, there was a lot happening leading into 2006. And so for me just to be on that Melbourne Commonwealth Games team, I was just thrilled to be a member. I was part of the leadership team and just really sort of happy to be there after, you know, going through a lot personally. And I remember one of the interviewers asking me after I'd achieved silver in the 200 individual medley behind Stephanie Rice. They were like, oh, well, you know, this is your third Commonwealth Games and it looks like you'll never win the gold. And I'm like, well, for me, that's not what it's about. It's about achieving your best. I just on a personal best time. I'd been beaten by my teammate. Our other teammate, Lara Carroll, had got the bronze medal. For our team, that's a clean sweep. Like, the three of you are standing on the podium all singing the national anthem in front of a home crowd.
Yeah.
And for me, it wasn't always about winning. It was about getting the best out of myself at that moment on that given day. And if you're against a better component that beats a better opponent that beats you, well, you know, you've just got to congratulate them and say, well done, and you know, and move on. And I remember thinking, wow, you know, as a sports journalist, and I've studied journalism myself, but I was like, as a sports journalist, you know, to give you that question straight out of the pool, it was tough to answer. But I remember saying, I've been beaten by a great competitor that will go on to achieve fantastic results in the pool. And that's what Steph did. She went on and won, you know, 3 Olympic gold medals. She was an Olympic champion, world record holder at the next Olympics, and, you know, has had incredible success with her swimming career and beyond.
Mm.
So, yeah, so for me, it was sort of time to say goodbye to the pool and to move on. I knew that there was so much more I wanted to achieve beyond the black line. And when your heart's not in it, it's tough to swim, you know, 70 kilometres a week and 3-4 gym sessions, all of your extra work that you have to do, as well as, you know, the energy in, energy out, with thinking about your food and your supplements 24/7 as well.
Yeah.
So, it was time for me to hang up the togs and, continue on with life.
Those bloody journos, Brooke. It's just incredible, isn't it? Look, Brooke, we've got commercial commitments we've got to reach at the moment. Go back to running around and...
Well, what's on the menu? The pancakes. What type of pancakes, Brooke?
Oh.
We're actually doing the Dutch poffages this morning. So, you know, the little ones that you get at the market?
Oh, enormous. Smorgasbord.
He's dribbling in here now.
I only used to get the white wings. Mum would produce the old white wings with and you'd shake the bottle, it'd be all lumpy. It's laid on at the Hanson House. Outstanding.
Now, just out of interest, Brooke, who is your rugby league team that you followed around so often?
Well, I was born and raised on Brookie Hill.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, well, I'm a league fan, so I know that a lot of people, you know, might hold the teams against me. But, yeah, I'm a Manly girl through and through. Moved to Melbourne and met a guy that was going for Storm. So he's a Melbourne Storm boy. But then was moved to the Gold Coast. So I've tried to tell our kids, I'm like, our town, our team. I'm like, if you want to get to the games, if you want to watch league live, well, you'll be going to the Titans game. So, yeah, it's interesting in our house that I'm still Manly, always Manly, and then we've got, Storm and now the Titans. And, I've got Cooper, Billy and Matilda, so they're 8, 5 and 3, but everyone said that.